love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. You can have a seat.
Hello, my friends. Bring it in. Bring it all the way in. Nobody on the back rows. Just bring it in as close as we can. See, bring it in. Seriously, people in the back. Jordan Cook, I'm looking at you. There's two more rows in front of you. I know. Bring them with you. Come on. I'm disappointed in all of you guys. Sit closer. Thank you. You're close. Sit close.
So far away.
Check, check.
Yes, you can.
Hello. Check.
Yeah. Sit right. You can sit at our feet like your children.
Check.
Hey.
Bring it in.
That's basically what we're going to do. Bring it in. We'll explain what we're doing.
Yes.
You guys,
we have groupies.
Pick the spot in front of the fireplace. Here you are.
Good evening.
All right, guys. Thank you. Come on in, kids. Come on in. See, this is the last opportunity. This is the last night where middle school and high school are together.
All together.
Which means,
one place.
Yeah, in one place. So Pastor Scotty and I were in the office today, or earlier this week, and we were like, you know, this is the last chance. My fire is too loud. Very good. This is the last chance for us to teach a message together.
As one.
As one. Can I get a little more volume on Scotty's microphone, Pastor Scotty?
Yeah.
Are we missing anything?
Maybe people? What?
We're going to sit around like a couple old scholars and tell you guys the Christmas story.
Yes.
So.
Quite right.
No. There are marshmallows in it, actually.
There you go.
But, all right. So we wanted to take a little time to retell the Christmas story for you guys. So, if you have Bibles or if you're taking notes, I'm still a little disappointed. Some of you guys are so far away. That's okay. Turn your Bibles to Luke 2. Luke
dose.
2. Luke dose.
If you've ever heard the Christmas story, there's probably a pretty good chance this is what you've read, just because, like...
There you go. Very nice.
It's not in every one of the Gospels like this.
No.
It's a special thing.
It's not. It's kind of a special deal. This is one of the only places in the Bible that gives you... This is great. I know. This is one of the only places in the Bible that gives you the early account of Jesus. So to get started, turn in your Bibles to Luke 2. But we're going to skip the first 7 verses. And I know if you guys are like me, you've sat many a Christmas with your cocoa. There's free cocoa in the back, so if you need to go grab cocoa, do it. Marshmallows as well. But keep listening. You guys have probably spent many a time on Christmas sitting there with Coco and reading the first 7 verses of the Christmas story.
Right.
The first 7 verses are where it actually talks about Jesus. We're going to take a minute and a half and let all those people get Coco because I just lost half of you. So, what do you guys want for Christmas?
That sounds pretty impressive.
Wow, that's special. Clothes and Shoes.
Clothes and Shoes.
Chronicles of Narnia books.
What was?
I've seen movies, but I've never read the books.
I am talking to your father. You will have the Chronicles of Narnia books.
Are good. Those are good.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good one to have. Yep. Say what?
I don't want to burn.
I understand that.
Burn
I wouldn't
Florida.
Want to burn in Florida
yeah, that's
either.
A good present.
HD, 2 hours. Yep, it does.
Pretty much loving this fire.
I am too. The crackle gets it the extra mile.
Last night, all together.
All together.
Yeah.
I know. PSL? What's the L?
Yeah, pumpkin spice latte, but it's also Pastor Scott.
What's the L? Loves everyone.
Dot, dot, dot. Fill in your name.
All right.
That's
lover, not a hater, I guess. Whatever. I don't know.
There you go. Getting the vibe. There you go. Hurry along with your cocoa, children, and return quickly. Mm-hmm. Such a homey feel. Oh, you can't do that. We still have to teach, unless it's low. If you can get some low instrumental, that sounds great.
Vince Guaraldi trio. Like the stuff from like Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's good. No, that was real good.
Whatever.
Nice.
Or something. So now everybody might think but like all my every time I see Christmas lights now, I just think of like Santa.
Nice. Hmm. Nice. Pastor Scotty, we've been doing this for how many years now? Cocoa and Lights.
Cocoa and Lights. I think this is like our 15th year.
Our 15th year of doing Cocoa and Lights. You may have seen us on Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Fallon has been asking, but we're both kind of booked this year.
Yeah. I mean,
NPR has it every year. We're kind of an NPR special, talk radio.
They have really nice microphones.
Lights and Cocoa. NPR? You don't know what NPR
National
is?
National Public Radio?
National Public Radio. Once you become about 65,
it's
unspoken,
the only channel
it's all
that
you
comes
listen
on
to.
Your radio. Yeah.
Sorry, I love it too. NPR, I'm a fan. The Daily Minute, it's great. All right, now that we have most of you guys back, we will go ahead and get started. But like I said, we're going to do this a little bit different. Normally when you read the Christmas story, you guys start in chapter 2, verse 1, and verse 7 is kind of the focus. And what that is the story of Jesus himself being born. So what I'm going to do is quickly recap, because what we're going to talk about tonight is we're going to talk about the shepherds. Pastor Scotty and I were really interested by the shepherds this year, and we think there's a lot of meat in the Christmas story, an application for us as believers celebrating Christmas now that we can draw from the shepherds. So a quick lowdown on what happens in the first, just let it happen. In the first seven verses of Luke 2, you have Mary minding her business. She's probably 14, 15. Put you guys in your spot, wherever you are, a couple years ago, a couple years from now, whatever. And the angel comes and tells Mary, you're going to have a baby. And I know we always like glorify this and people are like, man, it's awesome. She got to be the mother of Jesus. But think about it right now, walking into your high schools pregnant and being like, God did it. Not going to fly. Just try that some. Don't ever try that.
Don't try that.
My point is it was a scary situation for Mary. Angel says, fear not. And for Joseph, back in the day, like that sort of situation is bad now. But back in the day, Joseph could have said, man, my girlfriend is pregnant. I'm going to have her stoned. And everybody would have been like, good job, Joseph. Pat on the back. You're a good man. And they would have killed her right there in the street. And that's the sort of culture that the story of Mary and Joseph is birthed into. No pun intended. So that's the start of the situation. You have Mary being told by an angel she's going to be pregnant. You have an angel coming to Joseph saying, yo, it's going to be all right. Marry her anyway. This is of God. And then the worst thing possible could happen. The Romans decide to throw a census. So they need to go back to Joseph's hometown. It's a 68-mile hike through the desert while pregnant. So that's what Mary is doing. She's hiking 68 miles. My wife's back there shaking her head because she's 9 months pregnant and she does not want to hike 68 miles. And then when they got there, imagine like the chaos of New York. Imagine a DMV the size of New York.
Yikes.
Where the DMV attendants can beat you.
Yikes.
And that's essentially, again, the situation they walked into.
Which, let me just say,
yeah, interject.
I went to the DMV this past week here in South Carolina. It's a lot better than some other places. It was a, but this would have been awful. Like,
yeah. It was bad stuff.
Forever, this was back before computers. Okay, so just imagine.
That's right. That's right. So it's into this situation. They come into the census. Mary, Joseph, very pregnant. There's no room for them in a traditional housing area. Now, research will say that because Joseph was from Bethlehem, they may have had time to stay with family, But even then, your animals are your livelihood, so a part of the house is usually like a barn or a stable. So where Jesus was finally born was either like, imagine your uncle's back shed with a couple cows in it or a sheep, or like a cave, or that's the sort of situation we're looking at. And that is the situation that God decided to humbly bring Jesus Christ into the world. So that gets us up to speed on where we are in Luke 2. That's Luke 2, 1 through 7. And meanwhile, which is, I love it because the scriptures actually point us in that direction. It almost sounds like he says meanwhile. Yeah. In verse 8, and in the same region, there were shepherds in the field. So we're going to hone in on the shepherds now. Pastor Scotty?
Right. So if you have your Bible, let's look at verse 8, okay? It says, and in the same region, so the same area where this is going on with Mary and Joseph, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And this you probably remember, okay? And then it says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I want to pause here for a second. That word angel, okay, it means like a messenger. And so just imagine, though, if you're out in the wilderness, like I like reading every once in a while, like, scary stories of people that are out in the woods and witness something that's, like, crazy going on. If you went on the middle school retreat and we talked about, like, the Bingham lights and stuff, like,
Bingham
crazy.
Light.
Okay, I like reading those stories. I don't like watching the, like, movie or something because it creeps me out. But, like, reading this, I kind of feel like this is a story that, if it wasn't interpreted the right way, would go down that way.
Yeah,
because
and
these guys
you
are
know
out
pretty well firsthand, correct? Because you, being Scotch shepherd, are the direct descendants of these shepherds.
Right. These are my great times 196 grandfathers.
Got it.
That were out there. So it basically means that, like, I was there, but
yeah.
Not quite. Yeah. But these guys, I mean, just imagine them. They're out in these fields. They're taking care of their sheep. And then suddenly a messenger from the Lord appears. And it's just like, boom, there's a guy out there. And this would, like, scare me to death, okay? You're out in the middle of nowhere, and then someone is there, and, like, there's glory shining. I don't really know what that would look like necessarily, but just, like, sounds like a haunted mansion or something to me. I don't know. But, you know, that's not what happens following after that, okay? It does say, though, at the end of verse 9, they were filled with great fear, okay? And that's like an interesting thing to me, I feel like, that they were really like in awe of what they were seeing here. And then in verse 10 it goes on, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. If you've got a pen or something to write, I want you to like underline that place where it says good news, okay? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. That's a really interesting word there because it's where we get the word evangelism,
mm-hmm,
or gospel. It's that good news, okay? It's only used one other time, actually, in the New Testament, and it's where Jesus is talking about what has happened, and it's a quote from the Old Testament in Isaiah. He's talking about all these things that have happened, and he says, the blind can see, the lame can walk. He lists a few things, and then he says, and the poor are having the good news preached to them. And so that good news, it's like that is where we get that gospel or evangelism or evangelical from. So here it is, this good news, and it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Kind of crazy. Like, these guys would have had, like, heard about this Messiah, this Christ, and, like, that's the word that they're hearing here is, like, whoa, we've been waiting on this, and this guy just showed up and is saying that he's born today. Like, this is crazy. They haven't heard all this stuff about Mary and Joseph yet until, like they don't know those names like we know Mary and Joseph and stuff like that. that would just be like, oh yeah, I think that's my 19th cousin five times removed or something, you know, like, so it's kind of a weird thing, but that it says, who is Christ the Lord? If you still have your pen, I want you to underline where it says Christ the Lord, okay? This way of saying it is the only place where these words come together in the New Testament like this, Christ the Lord. And this guy, his name was Jameson Fawcett. He said, I see no way of understanding this Lord but as corresponding to the Hebrew Jehovah. So this is not just like Christ, a king or something, but it's like Christ who is God. And that's kind of like a crazy thing for thinking about when these people are hearing about Jesus is, hey, this is the Messiah, but he is God. Really cool.
It is. And that's those three titles together, the Savior, Christ, the Lord, would have had special significance to a Jewish audience because you have a Savior these people were under Roman oppression. So say we lose World War II, and your whole life you've grown up under a Nazi regime. If you were constantly looking for a Savior to bring you out of that, that's kind of how a Jewish mentality, that's what they were waiting for that. And then you have Christ, this God figure who is always to bring about the fulfillment of your entire religious system. And then you have the Lord, which is in all caps Jehovah, which was their God. And so all three of those titles wrapped into one gives the fullness of who Christ was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it continues on and it says, this will be a sign for you. Because, right, like, if it's craziness going on in this town, and he says, hey, I want you to go and find a baby, like, that's going to be extremely difficult for you to do. You know, like, going through this entire city full of people.
And awkward.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
You can't just go checking everybody's
babies.
Being like,
hey, your baby may be God. Like, yeah.
But let me check
so
it first.
And people would be like, what?
Not okay.
These people are crazy. You've been out with a sheep too long. You know, like,
close the door. Yeah.
They're weird. And it says, this will be a sign for you, okay? You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. There's a lot like wrapped into that there,
definitely.
You know, which is interesting. You know, that he's talking about this Christ who is God, which obviously God didn't just start being in existence that night, right? Because we know that God created the heavens and the earth, and he had worked with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all these guys in the Old Testament. But this God who has always existed is coming down and being born.
Mm-hmm.
And this God who, like, is everywhere and, like, is so powerful and stuff is a baby, and he's wrapped in these cloths. Like, that would be so foreign and so weird for them to think that, like, this king, this Christ, this Messiah God is being wrapped in these swaddling cloths and laying in a manger. Like,
it's incredible.
Crazy. Christ coming to earth, it says in verse 14, it was to restore the peace between God and man. You know, we have that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which I think may have been part of that Yoda sings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Yoda quote.
That's your Stormtrooper mug. I get it.
It kind of clears that up. You know, it says, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That, like, through Christ, there is a redemption of God and man. That it's through this baby who's born here that we'll ultimately see Christ who goes to the cross, who dies to take on, you know, the punishment we deserve, and then, you know, to move from there and be raised from the dead and exalted.
That's really good. So just to let you guys know where we're going. Oh, not in front of your fire. As we talk about the shepherds, Scotty, you could say that the shepherds were told a great message.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the angels come And yeah, the shepherds are sitting out there. They're available and whatnot. And the angel comes and they're told about this great news.
And if you guys kind of want to have an idea, if you have something to write with, if you have notes, where we're going with the shepherds is we're talking about how they were told a great message, about how they were sold on what that message was, they bought into it, and then how they were bold about sharing that message, and then we're going to end with how they were molded by the message they heard. We couldn't make it fit into all the rhyming patterns, so you get molded. So the shepherds hear this message. So how do they respond? Well, in verse 15 and 16, I'll read that for you guys. Verse 15 and 16, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which is the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So these guys are shepherds. They hear this incredible message. And how do they respond? Well, they drop everything. Their job is to raise sheep. And so they leave their sheep. And it says they go with haste. That word, spado in the Greek, it sounds sort of like speed. But the only other times it's used, it's always to hurry for a good reason. It's used when Jesus tells Zacchaeus to come down. And it says Zacchaeus hurried down because he was trying to get to Jesus. Or it's used in the New Testament when Paul hurries out of Jerusalem because people are trying to kill him. And so like he's trying to save his life, so he hurries out. But you see these shepherds that hear this message of this baby who is the Savior, Christ, the Lord. And they drop everything, and with haste. They say, "Let us." That's a command to themselves. If all you, any of you guys are, any of you guys grammar nerds, English people? Yeah, it's a hortatory conjunction. That's for you. And what it is it's saying, let's all of us get together and we have to do this. Well, why? Because they bought into what the angels told them. The angels had told them, Jesus Christ, the Savior, Lord, has been born in a manger. They understood and they valued what the message was and what they've been told. And guys, each one of us has been given the message of Christmas. We know the story of Jesus inside and out. But we can hear it, and we can sit in our proverbial pastures to where we hear it, we let Christmas go by with all the music, and then we just sit because we don't buy into the gospel that's been taught. And how do these shepherds even recognize the value of the message they heard? Well, this is something pretty interesting. I was looking the other day and reading some of this scripture, and I was reading about the shepherds that were, you know, shepherds around Bethlehem, and how many of you guys, are any of you guys Lord of the Rings fan? Anybody? Read them? Yep. Seen them? Some of you guys? Well, something that struck me while I was researching these shepherds was the Tower of Midder Eder. And that sounds like it should be right in between like Weathertop and Minas Morgul. Like it's a Lord of the Rings sounding name. Yeah, for sure. But what it was is it was a tower outside of Bethlehem. And this tower was a tower, it means the tower of the flock. And you guys have your Bibles on you? Somebody grab me Micah 4:8. First one to it. So it's this tower of the flock. And it was a place where shepherds, you got it? Go ahead and read it real loud for me. Micah 4:8. Eight.
Eight.
You're good. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. It's a prophecy talking about this tower of the flock. The funny thing is that nobody ever, we skip over that because it doesn't mean anything to us. And then we go straight to Micah 5:2 where it says, "Oh, you Bethlehem," and that's even the one that the people told Herod. Well, it says right here in this prophecy, "To you, O Bethlehem, you are not the least, for the Savior is coming to you." And that's how Herod knew that Jesus was going to be coming to Bethlehem. But earlier, this tower of the flock, it was a tower used by shepherds, but a very special type of shepherd that was outside of Bethlehem. The job of these shepherds was to raise the sacrificial blameless lambs for the temple, to be used for sacrifices. And that's what this tower was. And so that prophecy points back to you, the kingship of Jerusalem's coming back to you, O tower of the flock. And now, here in Luke 2, you have shepherds outside of Jerusalem that, who knows, possibly the same type of shepherds whose job is to raise sacrificial lambs. And their job is to find lambs without blemish, to raise them, and then they pull them in and look at them, and they examine them and see, is this sheep, is it fit to be a sacrifice for the temple? And its tradition even says, an old book called the Mishnah, Jews were into it, it even says that the lambs would freak out when they were born, because you just got born, and if you had the ability in your legs to freak out, you would too. And they freak out when they were born, so they would even take these lambs and they would wrap them in swaddling clothes, set them down in a manger, and then examine them to see if they were fit to be sacrifices that were worthy to take away sin. And now, take this to Luke 2. You have shepherds that are called, and you have angels saying, I want you to find the baby that's wrapped in swaddling clothes and who's lying in a manger. They had to see the significance. I want you to check out, see if this child is fit to take away sin, is fit to be a savior. And so they bought into this message, but they knew what they were buying into. They couldn't have avoided the implications of this is a savior. And the shepherds saw that. And they, it says, with haste, they left their livelihood, which was sheep, sacrificial sheep, for the sacrificial lamb of the world. And they bought into that message, and they went. And they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And guys, don't let this season, don't hear the message and miss the significance. Don't hear it in the songs we sing and in the things that we do, and allow the redemptive quality, the value of the story of Jesus coming, slip past you. Embrace it. Buy into it. But they were not only told and sold on it, then they were bold.
Right. So when they buy into this, it causes them, they go and they witness for themselves, and they find out. And then it says that they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. So really, they went about telling people this good news. So for all intents and purposes, they became the first evangelists. You know, they went out from this, they realized what they had seen, and they had boldness to go out into the world. I mean, that was kind of a big deal to go out into this countryside in the middle of the night or whatever, and in an occupied territory,
yeah,
because you've got the Romans everywhere that are ruling over them. And for them to go around saying that this Christ, this Messiah, has been born, that would probably raise a bunch of eyebrows, you know? They would be kind of wary about that. But these guys were bold, okay? Luke is the guy, you know, who writes this book. And he writes this not as a witness. You know, it's not like the shepherds, and then Luke was also there in the background, and he saw this and wrote it down in his diary. And, you know, Luke was an investigative journalist. He, mm-hmm, he was a doctor, but he was meticulous. He went around and, interviewed people and found out how things had happened by other people telling him. And so we find out kind of what maybe how he found that out. You know, it says that in verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And so I wonder if Mary, you know, remembered this. And it would be like nowadays, you know, how your mom will make you a scrapbook or a little baby book or something, and then pull it out and show people. And be, if you haven't done this yet and you haven't, brought home someone who you're interested in dating or something,
gosh,
parents can do that and be like, oh, look at all these baby pictures. And you're like, Mom, you know, but.
And if you're like me and your little brother is always cuter than you, just hide the baby books.
Yeah.
Because you don't want your prospective boyfriend or girlfriend to realize that your sibling is cuter than you.
Yeah, that would be really
bad. Bad move.
But this would be like, you know, Mary would be like drawing in the dirt or something like, oh, look, this is what Jesus looked like.
Kind of looks like your head.
And he was in a feeding trough, a manger, you know. And so. But she treasured up these things. And so when Luke comes around doing this investigative, you know, work, I'm sure that she had something to say about, man, I remember that night, and goes back and tells him about all of these things that had happened.